Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soito Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Yud Dalid. You will notice triangles on the page where 12 lines from the top. We marked with a triangle Maimro's comments made by Rav Chama Bar Chanina. In our previous shiur, we covered the first two. They were dealing with the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was relevant to the sugya that we had been learning up till that point. We continue with the third triangled Maimra of Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina. I want to point out, though, there is a girsa found in the Bach, which we will not be doing together in our Gemara marking shiur, but nevertheless, it's highly recommended to go through it. The girsa that the Bach has would be, in effect, another reference of Rav Chama Bar Chanina to the burial, to the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. That having been said, we continue in the Gemara with the text that we have. The Omer of Hanim Chamo Bar Rabbi Chanina, my dichtiv Achrei Hashem Elokechem Telechu. The pasuk says, and you shall walk behind, you shall follow the Almighty. V'chiyev shelo l'odem laloch achar shchina. Is it possible for a mortal to walk behind the divine presence? Valok far nemar. It has already been said, ki Hashem Elokecha eish ochlahu. The Almighty is compared to a consuming fire. How then can a mere mortal find himself in the presence of the of that which is the divine presence? Ella, what the pasuk wants of us when it says "Achrei Hashem Elokechem Telechu," it means "Lahaloch Achar Midosav Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Means follow the attributes of the Almighty. One should realize that the Almighty is the infinite. Human beings cannot perceive the essence of the Almighty. That's beyond the scope of mortal man, the finite man that we are. What we are expected to understand or to study, that is the manifestation of the Almighty in this world. The attributes, the actions that are manifest on the part of the Almighty should serve as a lesson, as a guide for us. So when we discuss the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's important to emphasize that we're not touching upon the essence of the Almighty. As we said, the Almighty is the infinite, and we are the finite. Nevertheless, the midos, the attributes of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we should study. And on the side of our Gemara, this section is in fact what we've just mentioned, entitled under the Nosei, the topic heading, Loleches Achar Midosav Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, to follow the ways of the Almighty. So now, we can turn back to the Gemara. We should actually beforehand point out the diamonds that appear, one of our series markings. You can see four diamonds that appear on the side under the Mivneh heading, Dugmois Shel Halicha Achar Midosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are examples of attributes that we should follow. So now the Gemara, Ma Hu Malbish Arumim, just like the Almighty clothed the Arumim, the naked, Dichti Vayas Hashem Elokim Lodom Lishtoi Kosnos Or Vayalbishem. In the story involving Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, in the story of Gan Eden, after they sinned, they discovered their nakedness, the Almighty made for them clothing. Kosnos or, clothing of or is leather, and he clothed them. So just like the Almighty cares for mankind and their being clothed, afato halbeish arumim, so too we're instructed to provide clothing for those that have not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, we know the Almighty visited the sick. Dichtiv vayera elov Hashem be'elonei mamre, the Almighty appeared to Avraham Avinu after his circumcision, after his bris milah. Af ato baker cholim, so too we are instructed to follow suit and visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilim, the Almighty consoled the mourners. Dichtiv vayachre mois Avraham vayavorech elikim es Yitzchok beno, and it was upon the death of Avram, after his death, the Almighty blessed his son Yitzchok. Af atah nachem avilim, so too we are to console the mourners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kovar meisim, the Almighty buried the dead, and this is essentially the tie-in to the Gemara just before. Dichtiv vayikbor oisu bagai, the Almighty buried Moshe Rabbeinu Bagai, the location in which Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Af atah kevor meisim, so too we are charged with burying the dead. Kosnos or, mention was just made regarding the Kodesh Baruch Hu and his clothing the Arumim, and it said in the Pasuk that he made for Adam and Chava kosnos or. Rav Shmuel, we have two opinions. Chad Omar Dover Habo Min Or, one said that Kosnosor, unlike that which we translated, we offered a literal translation before, we mentioned leather, but the tradition that Rav and Shmuel have, one opinion is that it's that which comes from the skin. What is it that comes from the skin? Wool. V'chanomar dovar she'or nehene mimenu. The other opinion is that the clothing the Almighty provided for Adam and Chava was that kind of material that one's flesh finds pleasure in having on it, namely linen. Neither one of these traditions mentions then that the Almighty made for Adam and Chava leather garments, but rather it's either wool shorn from sheep, or linens which are not animal related whatsoever, from the flax plant. We have a double underline marking which highlights statements made by it's Dorash Rav Simloi, that Rav Simloi taught. On the side, under the Noseh, under the topic heading, the Gemara that we're about to learn shortly. First, we have one point that describes the Torah beginning and ending with Gemilas Chasadim, and then what we've noted, that Moshe Rabbeinu chafetz the Koneis Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to enter the land of Israel. Dorash Rav Simloi, Torah, Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim V'Seifa Gemilas Chasadim V'Torah, begins with acts of kindness, the clothing of those that have not, and it ends with kindness, the burial of the dead. Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim D'Chtiv, right at the opening section of the Torah, we saw Bereishis Perek Gimel, the third Perek, the third chapter of Bereishis. Vayas Hashem Elokim L'Adam Lishto Kosnosor Vayal Bishem. The Seifa Gemilas Chasadim D'Chtiv, the end of the Torah, in Dvorim Perek Lamed Dalet Pasuk Vav, Vayikbor Oso Bagai, the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see Chesed, you see the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and of course that's one of the foundation points of Torah study, is to learn how to learn about and how to fulfill chesed, acts of loving kindness. The Torah begins and ends with that theme. Dorash Rabbi Simhoi, Mipnei Ma Nis'ave Moshe Rabbeinu Likonis Eretz Yisrael. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu so deeply desire to enter the land of Israel? V'chilecho Mipiru Hutzorach, Olisboa Mituvol Hutzorach. Do you think that Moshe Rabbeinu was interested in eating the good fruits of the land of Israel, or satisfying himself from the plenty that's found in this land? Elokach Omar Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu calculated as follows. Harbei mitzvahs nistavu Yisrael. There are many mitzvahs that the Jewish people were commanded vein miskaimen el beretz Yisrael, and their fulfillment is only within the boundaries of the land of Israel. The whole realm of mitzvahs atzilus baretz, when you look at Seder Zroim, the first sixth of Shas, is dedicated to laws that pertain to, we'll say, agriculture, produce, trumos, maestros, maestros sheni, halachas, and of course shvias, the laws of shmitiyah. These are laws that apply in the land of Israel. Ekonesani loretz kadesh yiskaimu kulan ayodi. I want to enter the land of Israel so that I will have the merit of fulfilling all of them. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Almighty, who did not allow Moshe Rabbeinu to enter the land of Israel, says to Moshe, Klumata mevakesh el lekabel schar. Is it not so that what you are interested in, what you're all you're interested in, is achieving the reward, the benefit of having fulfilled those mitzvos? Ma le'ani olecho kilu asitam. I consider you as if you have already fulfilled them. Shenemar lochein achalek lo borabim ves atzumim yachalek shalol tachas asher ero lamoves nafsho ves poishim nimno v'hu chet rabim noso v'la poishim yafgia. So we just read a posuk from Yeshaya Perek Nun Gimel posuk Yud Beis. As we go on in the Gemara, you can see we have underlinings. We're going to be analyzing the posuk section by section, understanding, of course, that the thrust of this posuk is that the Almighty delivers reward to those who fulfill the different points mentioned in the posuk, which we'll explain. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, met those criteria, and hence he receives the reward for all of those mitzvahs that can be fulfilled only in the land of Israel, even though he didn't actually do that. The Gemara. Lochein achalek lo barabim. I therefore will divide out to him in the public. Yochol kachrenim v'lo kerishonim. Should one think that he'll receive reward like the latter ones, not as great as the earlier ones. Talmud Lomar, therefore you keep reading in the Pasuk. It says, V'yas atzumim yichalek shalal. Atzumim means like the great ones. The shalal is the booty, the spoils will be divided. And who are the great ones? Kavrom, Yitzhok, V'yankiv, Shem, Atzumim, B'dor, V'mitzvahs. He will merit reward like Avram, Yitzhok, and Yankiv, who are mighty in Torah and mitzvahs. Tachas HaSheher Olamovas Nafsho, in exchange for his willingness to sacrifice himself, Shemosar Atzmo Lemisa, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to die on behalf of the Jewish people. Shenemar Vim Oyen Mocheni No V'chule. And if you don't spare the Jewish people, says Moshe Rabbeinu in his supplication to the Almighty, then erase me, then I am willing to sacrifice myself. I don't want to be a part of any, we'll say, of any story in which the Jewish people themselves don't survive. V'yas poishim nimno, shenimno imeisei midbarhi. Moshe Rabbeinu was counted amongst the generation that died in the wilderness, in the desert. The generation that died in the desert is referred to in the pasuk as poshim, as sinners. They were the generation that accepted the evil report of the spies who spoke ill of Israel. Unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu was counted amongst them, not, of course, as a sinner, but his death was together with that generation. Vahu chet rabim nosa, shekiper amaiso egel. He bore the sins of the masses, for he enabled atonement to be achieved for the sin of the golden calf. Ulepoishim yavgia. What does that mean? Shebikesh rachamim al poish Yisrael sheyachzur b'tshuva. He prayed for mercy that the sinners of Israel would repent. And in the pasuk, the word yafgia appeared. Vein pegia elot filu. The word yafgia is a reference to prayer. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ve'ata tispal ba'arom hazeh. V'altisa ba'adom rino tefila v'altivga bi. In this pasuk, as far as the purpose of the Gemara quoting the pasuk, you see a juxtaposition between the words tivga and tefila, prayer. And as you can see, with that we've come to the conclusion of the first perek of Masechet Sota, and now Bezras Hashem, we continue with the second perek. The second parak opens up with laws concerning the meal offering, the mincha that a sota brings. Part of the sota procedure is after she was warned not to be in private with so-and-so, a specific individual that the husband warned about, and she then went into solitude, into seclusion with that individual. Did something of an immoral nature actually take place? So we don't know. The husband brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, where the sota procedure takes place. And part of that procedure is the bringing and the offering of a meal offering. Meal offering made of barley. Before we continue with the mission itself, I think we would benefit from reading a Tosfos. Let's look at a Tosfos together by way of introduction, and at the same time take advantage of the page of Psukim that we've included at the end of this Masechta, the Psukim from Sefer Bamidbar Perek Hey, which deals with the Parsha of Sota. The issue that the Tosfos deals with concerns order. They're step by step, what took place. We have, in general terms, realized that we have several stages that are associated, that are connected with the Sota ritual in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tosfos, Mevi Es HaMincha. You can see it's the second Tosfos on the page, the first Tosfos of this perek. Ein Seder HaMishnah V'Seder HaParsha Mechuvanim. The order as presented in the Mishnah and the order of events as presented in the scriptures, in the Chumash, aren't parallel. They're not aligned. Sharei Kach Seder HaParsha. When you look in the Chumash, the order of events is as follows. Kinola. The husband warns her, Vinistera, and she's found in seclusion. Mala Isha, Umevi es Minchosa. The husband then brings the wife to the Beis HaMikdash and a meal offering. Hakein Mevi Fioli Shel Cheres. The Kohen brings a clay fioli, a clay type of receptacle. Venoisin Lesoichai Chatzi Lugmayim Min HaKior. And he puts into this receptacle a half lug. Lug is a liquid measure. So it's a half lug of water from the kior, the tank that held water in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The noisein boy ofar, and dirt is taken and put into the water. Mamid ho isha b'shar nikinor. the woman is made to stand in the Nicanor gate, the eastern gate that leads into, but not, she doesn't go all the way, she stands in the gateway, the eastern gate entering the that leads into the Azora. It's called Shar Nicanor. The Oiches Bivgodeo, the Soyser Asairo, these are points that we've learned already in the Mishnayos. And as far as the order of the Parsha is concerned, we continue where the Kohen, when she's standing there in the Shar Nicanor, he grabs hold of her clothing and he undoes her hair, exposes her and undoes the braid, Venosinus Amincha Al Yodeo, and he places the meal offering on her arms, Ubiyana Kohen Mayim Hamorim, and in the Kohen is holding the special waters, the called literally the bitter waters, which we just referred to, the water that he drew from the kior, the water tank in the Azora, Umashbia, Umasnimo, the Kohen then imposes upon her a vow and states the conditions, if she is guilty and if not, as is found in the Chumash, the Kaisivas Amagillah, and then the special section, the special parsha is written, Umochik, after it's written on the parchment, it's then scratched off, it's erased over the water, Umashke, he gives her to drink, Venoito Minchosa Mitoch Kfifa Mitzris, Venoisin Lusok Klishoris, and then he takes her meal offering that was up till this point in a type of let's say reed basket, and the contents, the meal, the flour is then transferred into a service vessel. Meinif umagish kremetz umaktir. Meinif is a waving action, and then the kometz, I should say umagish, and he brings the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach. Kometz, he takes a handful from the bowl containing the mincha, containing the flour, umaktir, and it's put on the fire. V'lo yodanu lomo shino hatano haseder v'im seder hatana davko seder aparsha. So this just leaves us with an unknown. I don't know why he says the order you find in the Mishnayos doesn't correspond directly to the order that you find in the Psukim. And I also don't know, says Tosfos, which order is the actual order. The order as featured in the Mishnayos, or the order as featured in the Chumash. So bear in mind that in the first perek we've started the order, and I hope by reading this Tosfos you saw a number of familiar points already. We now pick up with, of course, we're learning the Mishnayos, so we're picking up with the Mishnah order as we turn to the new perek. Hoya mevi es minchasa b'soch kfifa mitzris. The husband brought the wife's mincha in a reed basket. Kfifa is the basket, and mitzris, more tsori, is a reference to reeds, reed material. V'noisnal yodeha k'dei liyaga. And this bowl, this basket, the reed bowl containing the mincha flour is placed on her arms in order to liagas, to wear her out, to tire her out. And you'll notice triangles that appear under the nosei mivne heading. The word tkol, you'll see, is highlighted with a triangle. It's a reference to all meal offerings and the zoo. In contrast to this one, the vizu, the sota meal offering. So that all meal offerings have certain characteristics that are common to all of them, and in contrast to all other minchas, you find the sota with its, the sota meal offering having a, let's say, contrast elements. And in our note, we've indicated hevdelim, differences between mincha sota l'shar menachas, the differences between the sota meal offering and other meal offerings. Once again, just by way of introductory commentary, we're going to be exposing ourselves to numerous laws, details regarding meal offerings. So for those who haven't studied Seder Kodshim, specifically Maseches Menachos, you'll be encountering quite a few new ideas as we go along, and hopefully we'll be able to explain them sufficiently for our Dafyomi purposes. So we continue in the Mishnah, first triangle, Kol HaMenachos, with regard to the general realm of Menachos, Tchilos and Vesefin B'Klishares, they begin and they end using service vessels. The zoo, and this is in contrast to this one, the Sota meal offering, Tchilosa B'Kfifa Mitzris, V'Soifa B'Klisharis. It starts off in a non-service vessel, in a reed bowl, and it ends up in a Klisharis, in a sanctified service vessel. The Mishnah is going to need explanation. When you say that the beginning of Menachos is in Klisharis, the Mishnah is giving us the impression that when it's brought from one's house, when a person dedicated to bring a voluntary meal offering, a gift meal offering, he brings it from his house in a klisharis. That's the impression the Mishnah conveys. Whether that's true, that we'll have to see in the Gemara. But it's clear, though, that the mincha of a sota, in its early stage, is not brought, doesn't find itself in a service vessel, whereas other menachos at an early stage do find themselves in a service vessel. The expression soifa b'klisharis, Rashi tells us, means before the kemitza, the handful, is removed, which eventually is brought to the mizbeach for burning. The rest of the mincha, after you remove the handful of flour, the rest, the balance, is called shirayim, and most of the time the shirayim of menachos are a gift to the kohanim. We continue then in the Mishnah. Kol ha-menachos tuna shemen levona. All menachos require oil and levona, a type of spice. That's a granular spice that's added to the mincha. The zu eino tuna lo shemen velo levona. The sota meal offering does not require oil nor the levona spice. Kol ha-menachos bos minachitim, all meal offerings come from wheat. The zuba minasorim, and this comes from barley. Mincha se'omer, the omer meal offering, which is brought on the 16th of Nisan, the day after the first day of Pesach, first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. Minchas HaOmer, af al pi shebo min ha-seorim, even though it too is brought from barley, hi hoisa bo geres, the zu bo kemach. The Omer was brought from geres. Geres is a high quality, it's a well sifted barley flour. Kemach is the flour that results right after the barley grains are ground. Now, when you grind barley grains, inevitably there's going to be a certain amount of debris that's mixed in. And it's referred to as kemach, and as Rashi says, kemach is akol mu'urov. Everything is mixed in, kemoshin itchan, as it is, as soon as it's ground. Rabbi Gamliel, we continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Kishem Shemaseh Maise Behemo, Kach Korbona Michael Behemo. Just like her ways, we're talking about the Sota woman, a married woman who went off with another man, at least into seclusion. That itself is problematic and might very well have done more. So just like her ways are the ways of an animal, so too the sacrifice that she brings is made of barley grain based flour, which is maichovim, which is the food that animals eat. Tanya, Abuchonin Omer Mishum Rebbe Lezer. The teaching that Abuchonin says in the name of Rebbe Lezer, referring to the din of the Mishnah of Noisna Yoda, it mentioned in the Mishnah, Kedei Liago. Here it's elaborated upon. Kedei Liago, Kedei Shetachzor Bo. We want to wear her out, want her to tire out, in order that she should confess. Or Shetachzor Bo literally means that she should back out. In other words, she should confess that if she in fact sins, she should tell it to us. Im kocha chosa Torah al oivrei ritzono, if the Torah shows its compassion, because if she backs out and she says, yes, I am guilty, what happens? So the whole process stops. She does not drink the special bitter waters. She will not die, as opposed to if she doesn't back out and confess, but rather she remains steadfast in her claim of innocence, and will then make her drink, and in the event that she is guilty, she's going to die. She'll end up very likely dying right there on the spot. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to wear her out, get her to confess, all a sign of compassion. And therefore, the source tells us, Im kocha chosa Torah al oivrei ritzono, if thusly the Torah has compassion for it, for those that violate the Torah, it's sinners, kal v'chomer al osei ritzono, all the more so, the Torah has compassion for those who fulfill His will. The Gemara asks, this whole explanation about having her hold the mincha on her arms to wear her out, who says that that's the reason? Because of our sign or our expression of compassion, we want to save her. Maybe the whole purpose is in order for her to confess, and if she confesses, then as we said, the sota process stops. And part of the sota process involved, as we saw earlier when we learned the Tosfos, we've also learned this in the past, there is the writing of the parsha of sota, which contains the Almighty's name, which would have to be erased, and we're trying to get her to stop the process so that we don't come to that. So let's read the words again. Ki hechi, in order that the lo timchak Megillah, that the Megillah, the parchment on which God's name is written as part of the Parsha Soto, should not come to be timchak, erased. So we're not necessarily seeing here an expression of compassion for the sinners. We're just trying to protect God's name from being erased. The Gemara answers, Kosovar, this Tana is of the opinion, and here we're going to deal with an issue concerning order of events. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. This Tana is of the opinion, Mashke v'achakach makriv es minchosa, de'i mishum Megillah ha'imcheka la. Here we're dealing with we've reached the mincha stage. This Tana is of the opinion that the drinking takes place first. Now, the drinking involves drinking of water over which the parsha of sota was already erased. That's already then a fait accompli. That's past. And we're nevertheless trying to get her to confess her guilt, if in fact she's guilty, simply to save her from dying. As far as the Shem Hashem is concerned, she's already drank the water at this point. And it's pointed out, by the way, in the Rashi points this out, that the idea of the woman being checked out by the water, in according to this opinion, according to all opinions in effect, is the mincha also has to have been offered. But since the opinion of this Tana is that she first drinks, she's not going to be nivdekes, mean checked out or die from the water that she already drank until the mincha is offered. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to get her to confess her guilt, at which point, true, she's already drunk the water. We won't offer the mincha if she confesses. And by the mincha not being offered, the water will not take effect. And as far as, just to repeat ourselves, and as far as the suggestion that the consideration here is simply to preserve God's name, that's already foregone. In other words, his name has already been erased at this point. And the only reason that we're trying to get to wear her out in order for her to confess is for her own preservation. And hence the teaching that if you see how far we go in order to preserve the sinner, you can imagine how much further we would go, how much further compassion we have for the righteous. We continue with a quote from the Mishnah, Kol HaMenachas, and it said, Chilosin V'Soifin B'Kli Shoreis. On the side, we have a Noseh topic heading, Seder HaVoas Mincha. And note, it goes until Dav Tes Vos. We have a long discussion ahead of us. We're going to be referring to the order of the bringing of a Mincha. So that, in effect, we're going to be dealing with general laws concerning Menachas, and also making reference throughout this Sukkiah, making reference to the Sota, but primarily the focus, the immediate focus is on Menachas in general. So that even though we're not learning Seder Kochim right now, and specifically Maseches Menachas, the balance of today's shir is essentially going to be focused exclusively on the issue of meal offerings. We're going to see a Tanaic source which is presented, Veraminu, being as presented as a contradiction to that which we saw in the Mishnah. We have a starred note on the side where we indicate that the contents of this source will be discussed by the Gemara. In other words, the entire source is going to be reviewed as the Gemara itself unfolds after the source. So it's not too important for us to focus on the details of the source as we go along, other than a simple translation. Now, the Mishnah had said that all Menachas Tchilos V'Sofim B'Kli Shoreis, and we saw Rashi on the Mishnah where the impression we get is that, in general, people who dedicate a meal offering, when they bring the flour from their house, they're bringing it already in a service vessel. Well, V'ramin, we raise a contradiction. Seder Menachas Ketzad, how is the order of Menachas to be understood? Adam Mevi Mincha Mitoch Beso B'Kalsas Shel Kesef V'Shel Zohav. He brings them in kalsas, or receptacles, baskets made of silver, made of gold. V'noisna L'Soch Kli Shoreis. And then it's placed into a service vessel. Now, at this point, Gemara will review this point later. At this point, the Kalsa Shukesa, the Kalsa Shazov, are common. They're mundane receptacles made of silver or gold, but they're not service vessels. We're talking about it mitoch beso, when it comes from the house. So it's coming from the house to the Beis HaMikdash in non-sanctified service vessels. Our Mishnah seems to say that when Menachas are brought from the house, they are already put in, already from the house, they're put into sanctified service vessels we call Kli Shoreis. That is the contradiction that the Gemara referred to. Let's continue. After the Minch is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, it's then placed in a Kli Shoreis, so Mekatshe B'Kli Shoreis, it's sanctified thusly, prior to the meal offering being put into a service vessel. Even if the owner, the one bringing his meal offering sacrifice, dedicated it, it's called Kedushas HaPeh. It's called oral sanctification. Once it's put into a service vessel, its sanctification is notched up a level to Kedushas HaGuf, to inherent sanctity. There are differences in halacha between something that has Kedushas HaGuf versus something that is Kedushas Peh or Kedushas Momon, a value sanctity as opposed to an inherent sanctity. To get into the differences is beyond our scope right now. We therefore continue. Vinosein oleo shmona, its oil is added. Levonosa, and the levonos spice is added. Umolicha eitzel kohen, and then it is brought to the kohen. And it's up till this point, the kohen was not involved. The owner could be the one to have added the oil and added the spice to the flour that represents his meal offering. Then it's brought to the kohen. The kohen molicha eitzel mizbeach. The kohen then brings this bowl of meal offering with the flour, with the oil and the spice in it, to the altar. Umagisha bekeren dreimis maravis. He then magisha, he brings it to the corner of the altar. Even though we said he brings it to the altar, we're not ready yet for the putting in the fire stage. Just bringing the bowl to the altar, to the keren dreimis maravis, means to the southwestern corner. Keneged chuda shel keren vidayo. It's this bowl of meal offering is brought to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach and vidayo, and that's enough. What that means, the Gemara has to explain. Umesalek es halavona letzad echad. He then pushes aside the lavona spice that had been placed on the on the flour in the bowl. He pushes the levona off to the side. The koimetz mimokum shenisrabo shmona, and he takes a handful from that point in the bowl where the flour has the highest oil concentration. So he's now taking the kemitza, the handful. Koimetz is the verb form of kemitza. He takes a handful where the oil concentration was highest, the nosna lesoch klishores, and then this handful that he takes is placed into a second service vessel, umekatsha beklishores, and it's sanctified in that service vessel, umelake es levonosa, and then the levona spice that was in the previous vessel is gathered together, venosna al gabov, and is placed on the handful, the kemitz, the kemitza, that's in its second, in the second service vessel. Umaleu umaktiro b'klishores. It's then brought up and offered. And here, if we translate it literally, we're going to get the wrong idea. But there's value in translating literally in order to, let's say, set us up for the Gemara later on. It says this source says it's then brought up and then burnt. Maktiro is the offering or the burning in the service vessel. And I mean, we should just know after the facts that that's not true. But that's the translation. Umocho, and then this is another problem. It says after it's been burnt, maktiro means it's burnt, then you're adding salt. But this isn't the stage to add salt. Salt should have been added earlier. But okay, that's what we said. We have to explain this source. Vinosno agabi ho'ishim is then placed on the... Ishim was the plural form of the word esh, placed on the fire. Once the handful, the koimetz handful of meal offering is burnt, shireh necholim, the balance of the mincha, it can be eaten by the kohanim. Rasha kohanim liten the soichah yain shemen vash. Regarding the shirayim that the kohen will eat, he can add wine, he can add oil, he can add honey. V'ein asurin el milchamitz. The only restriction that the kohanim have in preparing the flour of the shirayim, of the balance of the meal offering, to make sure, just like on Passover, one is very careful not to allow the dough to ferment, the same law applies year-round to Beis HaMikdash meal offerings. Do not allow them to turn into chametz, to ferment. Kotoni miha. It, however, said, and here we have to point out the contradiction that began what we have marked as a long question. B'kalsus shel kesev u'kalsus shel zav. The mincha would be brought from one's house in these baskets made of silver or gold. And we wrote between the lines, v'lo klishos. No reference in this Tanaic source is made to the bringing of the mincha from one's house in a temple service vessel, which is a sanctified utensil. Not so. And yet our Mishnah said Chilasan v'sofim b'klishar is the beginning, bringing it already from the house is brought. It is brought in a service vessel. Answer, Amar Rav Papa, Ema, restate the Mishnah, or restate your understanding of the Mishnah. Bekelim horu'uyim l'klishares. The material of which the vessel that you're bringing your mincha in must be a material that is fit to be made into a service vessel. If he were to sanctify it, it would become a service vessel. That's what our Mishnah means when it says Tchilosan Beklishores. It means a vessel that's made of that kind of material that if sanctified it would become a Klishores. Well, Michlal, then we can infer, and by the way, our Mishnah spoke about all Menachas, and then our Mishnah at each juncture contrasted them with the Sota meal offering. So we can infer from our Mishnah that Michlal de Kfifa Mitzris Lo Chazio, that a reed basket would not be fit for making into a service vessel. Something to do with the material. So how are we understanding things? Our Mishnah says that in general menachas are brought from materials that could be made into a service vessel. And this one, the sota, is brought in a kfifa mitzris, sounding like this is a material that would not be suitable for being made into a service vessel. Okay, with that understanding, we ask Kiman, according to whom is this the lo krib yosi brib yuda? Should we assume then that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rib Yosi brib yuda? What does Rib Yosi brib yuda say? Tisanya klishore shason shel eitz Rabbi Poso Rib Yosi brib yuda machshir. Service vessels made of wood, according to Rebbe, they're unfit. According to Rabbi Yosi Rehuda, who is the name we want to focus on right now, Machshir, he says, they would be acceptable. Now, what was the conclusion that we drew from our Mishnah? That in general, menachas are to be brought from your house from materials, metals, like kesef, like zav, silver, gold. Those are materials that could be made into a service vessel if you wanted to sanctify them. And then we, in the Mishnah, we contrasted them with the sota meal offering that's brought specifically in a kfifa mitzris, in a reed basket, which by virtue of contrast, that would be something that could not be made into a service vessel. Why not? Well, it's because then that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yosi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yosi Yehuda, a service vessel could be made out of wood. So then our Mishnah, which suggests that the Kfifa Mitzris would not be acceptable as a service vessel, is not in accordance with Rabbi Yosi Yehuda. The Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Rabbi Yosi Yehuda. Our Mishnah can conform to Rabbi Yosi Yehuda. Eimar Domer Rabbi Yosi Yehuda b'chashuvin. Rabbi Yosi Yehuda says that klisharis made of wood are acceptable when you're dealing with expensive type wood. B'pchusin mi Omar, in very cheap kinds of wood like reed material, would even Rabbi Yosi Yehuda have accepted that as a material suitable for a service vessel? Would he not hold from the pasuk that says hakriveu na lifechasecha? The word lifechasecha from the word pecha is an official, a certain important individual. The gist of this is that you wouldn't bring to the Almighty something that would be any less than that which you would present to a person of high standing. If you want to give a gift to someone of high standing, you wouldn't give it to them in a reed basket. So even though Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that wooden service vessels are acceptable, that's true if it's an expensive type of wood. So that our Mishnah, which suggests that a reed basket would not be suitable as a service vessel, that point is accepted not only by the Rabbanan, but by Rabbi Yosef Yehuda as well. So our Mishnah doesn't have to be presented as something that he would not hold from. Yeah, he would accept the conclusion that we mentioned concerning the reed basket as well. V'noisna l'kli shores u'mekatsha b'kli shores. The mincha would be put into a service vessel. U'mekatsha b'kli shores. The Gemara, focuses on this word, very precise reading of this word, u'mekatsha shames mina. Should we conclude kli shores ein mekatshin elamidas, that service vessels do not have the power to impose the higher level of sanctity that we mentioned earlier, the sanctity of kedushas aguf, inherent sanctity, unless the owner has that intent. In other words, the word umekatsha represents a proactive approach to sanctification, that you sanctify, you have intention for the sanctification while putting it into the kli shores. And if you say that, then we would be concluding that kli shores, that service vessels, don't have the power of automatically imposing the kedushas haguf by the mere presence of the flower within them. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to come to that conclusion. Amal, you can, restate the Mishnah as follows. Noisna b'kli shores, likatsha b'kli shores. The placing of the meal offering in the service vessel accomplishes it becoming sanctified. That's the difference between saying umekatsha versus likatsha. The placing in the service vessel then automatically results in it gaining the higher level of sanctity that we alluded to. So we're not going to conclude this point. And this is a discussion that you find in many different places in the Shas concerning the power of kli shores. Is it something that's dependent on the owner's initiation, or is kli shores in there? Are kli shores mekadesh even without his das? The Mishnah mentioned the nosein oleha shmona levonasa, minochas in general. You find there's oil and levona added. Shenemar v'yotzak oleha shemen. V'yotzak means to be poured over. The mincha is the oil. The nosan oleha levona. That's a quote from Vayikra Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Umolicha etzel kohen dichti v'via el bnei Aaron. The minchas then, after the oil and the lavona have been added, it is then brought to the kohen. Dechtiv, as we read in the pasuk, that the vevio el bnei haron, at that point it's brought to the kohanim. The kohen molicha etz mizbeach, and then the kohen carries it to the altar. Dechtiv gisha etzel hamizbeach. Again, quoting from the section of the Torah dealing with meal offerings. Magisha b'keren droimis marovis keneged chuda shel keren v'dayo. The bowl containing the meal offering is brought to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach, and that is enough. This idea of southwestern corner, where is that learned from? Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading where we've written Machlekes Tanoim. We're going to see a Tanaic controversy. Mokom Hagosha Shel HaMincha Eitzel Mizbeach. Where was the Mincha brought when we say that it was brought to the altar? So far, we've made reference to the southwestern corner. As we go on in the Gemara, as we mentioned, there's a machlokas tanaim. Take note of the fact we have some diagrams on the side of the Gemara as well. These diagrams are, we call a mabat al. It's a bird's eye view, a view from looking above, down. And what are we looking at? We'll be looking at the Mizbeach. And I want to, of course, just by way of disclaimer, these diagrams are not drawn to scale, and there's a lot of detail that's left out that's not included in the diagrams, simply because the purpose of this sukkah is to specify where the mincha is brought, and we're not dealing with exact forms of construction and models and precise illustrations. There's a plethora of literature and illustrations on the market for those who want added detail. Right now, the question is, how do you know that the mincha, a standard mincha, is brought to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach? The Gemara, Minolan. From where do you know that? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, V'zois teras ha-mincha, ha-krev oiso b'nei Aaron, lefnei Hashem el p'nei ha-mizbeach. That's the Pasuk says, and the mincha will be brought to lefnei Hashem, and also p'nei ha-mizbeach. V'tanya, lefnei Hashem, literally in front of God. The divine presence is focused in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron HaBris containing the Luchos was located. So lefnei Hashem, for our purposes, represents the Heichal, the enclosed portion of the Beis HaMikdash. Relative to the altar, where was the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal? Where was it? Well, relative to the Mizbeach, it was west of the Mizbeach. You would enter the temple courtyard from the eastern gate, and as you walk from east to west, you're walking toward the Mizbeach, and once you pass the Mizbeach, you're then going to be walking into the Ulam and the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. So when the Torah says, bring the Mincha Lefnei Hashem, that Yochel B'Marv, does that mean that you would bring it to the western side of the Mizbeach? And if you want to use your diagrams, you can see where that would be. Notice we've written in where Ma'arov is, and again, it says a bird's eye view. So you see where Ma'arov is, and where Sir Mizrach is. When it says Lefnei Hashem, it would possibly mean you bring your Mincha to the western side of the Mizbeach, and that way the Mincha would be facing the Heichal. Talmud Lomar, El Pnei HaMizbeach, literally to the face of the Mizbeach. There was a ramp that's known as the Kevesh. Kevesh is a ramp that the Kohen would ascend the ramp till he reaches the top of the Mizbeach. So when you're walking on the ramp, you're walking in effect toward the Mizbeach, which is facing you. So where's the face of the Mizbeach? Well, that's on the southern side. So once the Pasuk says El Pnei HaMizbeach, well, E El Pnei HaMizbeach Yochel Badorom, does that mean that I bring the Mincha then to the southern side of the Mizbeach to fulfill Pnei HaMizbeach? Talmud Lomar, Lefnei Hashem. Well, don't forget, the Pasuk also said Lefnei Hashem, which means to a point that's facing the Heichal. Ha-Ketzad, so how are we to resolve this? You realize that we have one saying southern side, that's Pnei Hashem, the other saying western side, as I said, Pnei HaMizbeach, and the other western side, Lefnei Hashem. How do you resolve that? The resolution is as follows: B'keren droimis marovis keneged chudo shel keren v'dayu. You bring it to literally the corner, the point at which south meets west, at the corner, and that's enough. Rebbe Lozer Omer. Now notice, Rebbe Lozer is going to present to us a different approach. Yochol yagisheno b'marova shel keren o lidromo shel keren. Do you have an option, so to speak, a choice? You can bring it to the western side of the corner, In other words, not at the angle itself, the very point, but the side of the corner. Can you bring it? Do you have a? Is it a matter of choice? You can bring it either to the western side or the southern side. Amris, we answer. Kol mokim shata moitze shnei mikrois, where you find two scriptural phrases. Echod mekayim atzum mekayim divrei chavero. Choosing one of these of the scriptural phrases would, by choosing one, you fulfill itself and you fulfill the other one. The echad and the other phrase, mekayim atzmo mevatel divrei chavero, would be a fulfillment of itself, but a voidance of the other one. Now, so far I know this sounds very abstract. Don't worry. This will become clear as we go on. So you have a choice, either choosing, making a choice where you end up fulfilling both scriptural requirements, or choosing the other one, which might fulfill itself, but does not enable you to fulfill the other one. So what do? Manichemes shemekayim atzmo vata chavero. You leave aside, you abandon the choice that would result in your fulfilling itself, but not the other one. V'tayfsenes shemekayim atzmo mekayim chavero. And you would then make your choice, choosing the one, the approach, that enables you to fulfill it and fulfill the other one. Again, so far still murky. Now let's become practical. Kesha'at o'imer lefnei Hashem b'marov, when you say to bring the mincha lefnei Hashem, bring it to the western side near the corner, but the western side of the mizbeach. Well, b'talta el pnei ha-mizbeach. Badorom, you have no fulfillment of pnei ha-mizbeach, which is in the south, the southern side of the mizbeach. That's where the pnei ha-mizbeach is. You're walking up the ramp from the starting on the south, walking northwards, but you'd be reaching initially the southern side of mizbeach. So if you're going to suggest to bring the mincha to the western side of mizbeach, you'll have no fulfillment of pnei ha-mizbeach. Uksherato oimer vel pnei ha-mizbeach b'dorom. When you focus on that, namely, bring your mincha to the face of Mizbeach, bring it to the southern side of Mizbeach. Kiyamta lefnei Hashem b'marov. You are able thereby to fulfill at the same time lefnei Hashem, facing the west. Okay, tzad. So what do you do, practically speaking, with the mincha? Magisha ledromo shokeren. Bring it to the southern side of the southwestern corner. In other words, you're not bringing it to the actual point itself that represents the tip of the angle, but bring it to the side near the southern, near the southwestern corner, but you're bringing it to the southern side. Yeah, but one second. If you're going to bring it to the southern side, where are you in fulfillment of Lifnei Hashem? Vehechon Kiyamta. Where, by bringing it to the southern side of the Mizbeach, do you fulfill the dictum of Lifnei Hashem? Omar of Ashi, Kosavar Haitano, that is Rebbe Elazar, he is of the opinion, Hulei Mizbeach Betzofon Koi. The entire Mizbeach is located in the northern half of the temple courtyard. In other words, the southern edge of the Mizbeach is at the borderline dividing the Azora north-south. With an illustration, our hope is this will become much clearer. Let's start with the second diagram that's entitled Reish Aleph for Rebbe Elazar. Again, this is a bird's eye view. The dashed line that you see running down that diagram is the dividing line on the right-hand side, that's the northern half of the Azara, the northern half of the courtyard, and the to the left of the dashed line represents the southern half. According to Rebbe Elazar, if you bring your mincha to where the arrow points, you're bringing it to the southern side of the Mizbeach, near the southwestern corner. But if you're bringing it to the side, where is the Mizbeach located? We mentioned that this is a dividing line. The dash line is a dividing line between the northern and southern halves of the Azara. According to the dash line, then, where is the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is located exclusively in the northern half of the temple courtyard. That being the case, when you bring your mincha to the southern side of the Mizbeach, notice how it is facing, without anything blocking it, how it's facing the Heichal. It's in fact facing the entrance to the Heichal. That's Lifnei Hashem. Is it at that point Pnei HaMizbeach? Yes, it's the southern side of the Mizbeach. So with the mincha being brought to the southern side of the Mizbeach near the western edge, you are able to accomplish both Pnei HaMizbeach and Lifnei Hashem. If you were to bring it to the western side of the Mizbeach, you would fulfill Lifnei Hashem, but you have no fulfillment of Pnei HaMizbeach, the face of the Mizbeach. The face of the Mizbeach is the southern side of the Mizbeach. You saw from time to time, before we go further, just I want to make note of the Shitas Chachomim was that by bringing the Mincha literally to the southwestern corner, to that point where the two sides meet, namely the literal corner, if you look at your first diagram, which is entitled Tuf Kuf, the Tanakama diagram, at that point the Mincha is the southern element to it, Pnei HaMizbeach, and the western element enabling it to be facing the Heichal. The numbers that you see in the diagram are numbers that will take on greater relevance when you study the Rashi. But for our purposes, the only way, according to the Tanakama, to accomplish Lifnei Hashem and Pnei HaMizbeach is by bringing it to the southwestern corner, literally. The Gemara continues, my vidayo. You saw it was mentioned by the Tanakama, you bring it to the southwestern corner and that's enough. What does dayo mean? Amar Vashi, itzrich. I need the source and the mission as well to tell me vidayo. Sagdei chamina tiboi hagoshas mincha gufa. I would have thought that when the Torah says v'higisha el mizbeach, eitz el mizbeach, and bring it, the meal offering to the mizbeach, that you would have to tilt the bowl in such a way that the flour within the bowl would come into contact with the altar. Komash malon, what Vidayo tells us, is that's not necessary. It's enough. Vidayo means it's enough, it's sufficient that you bring the bowl to the southwestern corner. You don't need to have the contents of the bowl, the flour, actually touching the mizbeach. Maybe, in fact, you should have the mincha gufa touching. How do you know that that's not done? Omakra, the pasuk says, v'ikriva el ha-kayin, v'higisha el ha-mizbeach. Ma ha-krova eitzel kayin b'kli, just like when the bringing of the mincha to the kayin, the mincha is in a vessel. Af ha-gosha eitzel mizbeach, so too by virtue of the, we'll say the hekesh or the juxtaposition of phrases in the pasuk we read, so to the hagosha similarly is bekli, is while it's in the vessel. There's no need for the contents of the vessel, for the flour itself to touch the mizbeach. Just like the flour itself isn't touching the kohen when the bowl is brought to the kohen. U'masalekes levoinosu litzad echad. We learned that as well, that the before taking the handful from the bowl of flour, the levona was added, and then the levona is a granular spice, and then it's pushed off to the side. Why is the levona pushed off to the side before you take the handful? So that when you're taking your handful of meal offering, you're not taking levona in the handful as well. Kedisnan, as the Mishnah says, komatz fi'olo biyodo tzror or gagu melech or kurt levona posel. When you're taking your handful of meal offering, and contained within the handful is any substance other than the flour itself. Examples: you took the handful and there a pebble, a tzror, was in there as well, or a grain of salt, or a kurt levona, a granule of the levona spice. Pusel, your handful would be pusel because your handful is called, it's called a chometz that's chaser, it's a chometz that's lacking, it's not 100% chometz, 100% flour. It's got many of these foreign substances, and that's why it's important to push the levona spice off to the side in the bowl containing the meal offering before you take from that bowl the flour for your komets, for your handful. The komets mimokum shinisra boshimno. We saw in the source that when you take the handful, you take it from that point where there's the highest oil concentration. Minolon, from where do you know that point? Dichtiv, misalta, umishamna, migirsa, umishamna. That when you're taking it, the meal offering from the soles, the wheat flour, it's together with the oil. And if you're taking it from the barley flour, you're going to take it from the where the oil is. V'noisnoi l'soich kli shores u'mekatsho b'kli shores. Lomali, the Mishnah, or I should say the Tanaic source, taught that he then takes the handful from the service vessel and takes the mincha, the handful, the koimetz, and puts it into another service vessel. Why does it need to be put into a second service vessel? Ha kidsha chadazimna. It's already been sanctified once in its initial service vessel. Where do you get this idea? What's the precedent for having two service vessels? The Gemara says there is precedent for that. Midi, dahave, adam. Don't misread that word. The aleph is a prefix. It could have been like al. Midi dahave means similar to blood. Blood of sacrifices. Well, where does the blood come from? It comes as a result of your slaughtering the animal. How is the animal slaughtered? You use a knife. And the knife represents a service vessel. Dam. Afagav de kadishte sakin betzavar behema. Even though the blood of a sacrificial animal is sanctified through the use of the knife on the animal's neck, so the sakin is mekadesh the blood, what happens? You have another service vessel to receive the blood of an animal sacrifice. Hader makdish lay bekli shoreis. That second service vessel is a bowl that receives the blood, in which the blood is received. Call that kabbalas adam. So that even though one service vessel was already used, the knife, a second service vessel is used for the same material, for the blood. So with that in mind, hachanami, so to appear by the komets, lo shna, no distinction, meaning just like by the blood, two vessels, so too, the basic mincha is brought in a kli shores, that's your service vessel number one, and then the handful one taken from service vessel number one is placed into service vessel to kli shores number two. Umelaked es levonosov and nos nalgabov. Once the komets was placed in its service vessel, you go back to the first bowl, collect the Lavona spice and put the Lavona spice on the flour that was the kometz, the handful that's now in the second service vessel. What's the source for that? Dichtiv es kol halavona asher al hamincha. You gather all of the lavona that was on the mincha. Umaalehu. We continue to the top of Daf Tezvov. Umaktiroi bekli shores. Now we're going to stick to the text of the Gemara as it is. Rashi has an alternative approach, but we'll just take the, we'll say the simple approach of the, by sticking to the Gemara text itself. According to the Tanaic source, the handful was put into a second service vessel, brought up to the Mizbeach, and, to, and as we saw, Umaleu Umaktiro Beklishores. That's what it said in the source. You bring it up and then burn it in the service vessel. So we ask, that's not how things are done. Bekli shores maktule. It's burnt while in the kli shores. That's not so. The procedure was, after the mincha is brought onto the mizbeach, the handful is then, the handful itself is then thrown into the fire of the mizbeach. There's no fire in the service vessel. The fire is on the top, on the roof of the mizbeach, on the altar. Hello, Emo. So for a clearer understanding of the Mishnah, of the Brisa, we should read Ma'alehu Bikli Shores. You would bring the handful of the meal offering while in that previously mentioned second service vessel. Lihaktiru, in order to have it offered, to have it burnt. With this reading, Ma'alehu Bikli Shores Lihaktiru, the goal is it. Is that it's brought to the Tavlis Bech in order to be burned, but no indication that it's burnt in the service vessel. It's brought in the service vessel, and then from the service vessel, the Kohen throws the handful of flour into the fire. Umocho venosno al gabi hoishim. Salt is added to the kometz, and it's placed on the fire. Dechtiv v'chol korban minchoscha b'melach timlach v'chulei. The pasuk says that all meal offerings are to have salt added to them. The topic continues, as we mentioned earlier, but now that we've reached the beginning of Daf Tezvav, we've completed our Daf Yomi quota of Daf Yudalet. And before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.